The following is a recording of Christine Furt, Director of Center for Sustainable Communities at the University of New England, speaking September 23rd at the 2015 meeting of the Water Protection Network in Washington, D.C. The recording is 17 minutes long.
I just want to say how happy I am to be in this room with you folks who are so dedicated in fighting the good fight, and what little I've learned about the culture of this group, which is something I study, I really, really admire the stick-to-itiveness, and I don't deal with the core at all. So I just want to preface my kind of Pollyanna approach to environmental management in that I don't have to deal with the core, but I do deal with grassroots groups. So if there are, as a message in this talk, it's these are things that you can take back home when you're working with your friends and neighbors to move your projects forward. So I'm going to introduce a couple of new concepts, that of collaborative learning and mental models. I work at the University of New England. I'm in the Environmental Studies Department. I teach communication, and I teach a course called Sustaining Water, which focuses on kind of a new approach to science called sustainability science. I also work in the National Estuarine Research Reserve System. Does anybody in your work interact with the National Estuarine Research Reserve? Anybody? There's 20, oh, okay, a couple folks. There are 28 of them in the country. They are a NOAA state partnership, and I work with a program called the Coastal Training Program, and my primary task in that is to translate science and to engage people in sustaining ecosystem services and using the best available science. So just a little bit about what collaborative learning is. One of the taglines of this conference is theory to practice, and I spend most of my time trying to understand theory so I can work with practitioners. And if I can't make something understandable to a practitioner, I'm not doing my job. So this is a practitioner-focused talk. But collaborative learning is based on three theories: the theory of conflict, conflict resolution, systems theory, and adult learning theory. So if you're working with groups of people and conflict is an element, they are acting like adults when they learn, and you're also trying to understand a system, those three theories are what guides the practice of collaborative learning. And if you take a look at the definition, it's a framework. So it's both a framework for thinking about something, but it's like a cookbook, a set of practical techniques for engaging people and causing change. So I also consider myself a change agent, and I love how collaborative learning can be used for that. Now, the gurus of collaborative learning are Steve Daniels and Greg Walker, and you can go on Amazon and try to find their book, and if you've got a lot of time, you can read it, or you can go online and get my 20-page guide, which is my 300-page dissertation converted to 20 pages so that practitioners can do collaborative learning. And it's not something that you need a PhD to do. Anyone who's good with people can learn how to do collaborative learning. Now, what about mental models? And I really want you to think about this Mark Twain quote. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. Now, you may think that quote applies to them, but the quote also applies to you and to us. What are things that you think, oh, that's just the way they are? It's no use talking to them. They'll never listen. That's a mental model that will not cause progress to happen. Now I'm just going to tell a story on myself. The Coastal Training Program at the National Estuarine Research Reserve System started in 2002, and I was the first Coastal Training Program coordinator in Wells, Maine. And when we did some analysis of what my job would be in Maine, they said, well, water's a problem, there are threats to water in Maine, everybody loves clean water in Maine, and we think the root of that problem is municipal decision makers. The municipal decision makers don't have the right science, and they are making decisions that cause water to be a problem. So your job, Chris, as the Coastal Training Program coordinator, is to get those municipal officials in the room, give them some science, and they'll go out there, and water will be protected. Okay, this is a mental model of what's called the delivery model of science and information. You just, well, kind of what I'm doing right now. You guys are all sitting there, I'm delivering something to you. But this mental model will only get you so far. So let me tell you a little bit more about mental models. They come from two fields, psychology and anthropology. a mental model as studied by psychologists, they're a simplified representation of the world that we use to unconsciously to interpret what we see, to infer from what we know about to what we don't know, and to solve problems. And we use them without thinking. They just automatically cut in. Like if something with four legs and a furry coat and it barked ran in here, we'd all go dog, because that's a mental model, a dog came in. Mental models that are shared within a group or culture are called cultural models. So I would say that in this group, the Water Protection Network, you have certain ways of thinking that you all share because you're dealing with similar problems. Now, cultural models are good because they allow you to talk fast and share problems. You're all on the same page, literally. But if you're interacting with another group, like the Corps of Engineers, they have different cultural models, and that model that you all share is different from theirs, and it's going to be a barrier. So I like to understand cultural models so I can use them to overcome communication barriers. Now, one cue to cultural models is metaphors and metaphorical phrases that people use, even the way people tell jokes. So I'm going to use three metaphors for dealing with water problems that I found that help solve problems. One is the metaphor of a kaleidoscope. You know, the little children's toy you can look through, and if you turn it, the world looks different depending on how you look at it. The other is the metaphor of a bridge. And the last metaphor is a metaphorical watershed. And I'm going to use that to talk about solving water problems. Now, the first step in solving water problems is understanding stakeholders. And that's the fundamental thing, both thinking about who your stakeholders are and what they think and what their priorities are. And that's like the number one challenge. It's not the science, it's not always the laws and policies, it's who are the people that care about this and why do they care. Now, what if you're trying to figure out a stakeholder that you weren't familiar with? The number one thing you could do would be to find them and sit down and talk to them and actually sit and listen. But that's a problem in America, because Americans think the opposite of speaking is waiting to speak. And this is said by Canadians. I do a lot of traveling in Canada, but Americans think the opposite of speaking is waiting to speak, so it is very hard to get into that mode of just listening. Now, when I was faced with my municipal official challenge, I said, okay, I'm gonna go talk to some municipal officials in Maine, and I'm gonna find out just if, you know, what kind of science they need to do a better job. So I sat down, and I just had three questions. Now, this was, for my research, it's based on anthropology, but I found in the 12 years since I finished my research that these three questions are kind of the only ones you need to get somebody talking about what they care about and what they think about a situation. In my case, I was studying water, and I asked people, why is water important? And then you just kind of shut up and let them talk. And as they get talking, you say, well, tell me more about that. Or, oh, well, that's interesting, and you listen. The second is, well, what do you think are the threats to water? What do you think are problems that are facing water? And then the third question is, what can be done to protect water? And you're just listening for what their perspective in the situation is. Now, I learned from Southern Maine that there are six models or six values, and these relate to ecosystem services of water. And I've talked to people all over the country about these six values of water, and people have only added a couple more than what I found in Southern Maine. The first value or ecosystem service is people, first when you ask them why is water important, they look at you like you're crazy and say, it's the basis of all life on Earth. Well, if it's the basis of all life on Earth and everybody knows that, then why do we have so many problems? But still, it is the basis of all life. The second model that people use to think about water is that nature makes water. And people understand that. In the National Estuarine Research Reserve System, we were always saying, oh, we have to tell people about the water cycle. We have to tell them how the water cycle works. People know how the water cycle works. They might not know the technical terms, but everyone I interviewed had a perception in their mind of how water moves on the landscape, and that it is a cycle, and that spending a lot of time talking about that is not going to solve any problems. Number three, water is landscape. It's the backdrop. That's kind of a cultural ecosystem service that people will pay more to live near water. Down the bottom, water is a commodity that's bought and sold on the markets. This is where you guys probably interact with the core, the middle one down there. Water is a resource to be managed and used to do work. And the last model that the Mainers came up with is water is actually waste. We depend on water to carry away the waste products of society. And these were the values that people associated with water in Maine. And the other surprising thing I found out is this thing I call the kaleidoscope of expertise. This is the municipal water management system in southern Maine. And I know it's a little bit light here, but I have a darker version. But these are all the ways that water is protected in the landscape locally in southern Maine. And there's 8 different jobs that people have. And people all share common values. So the values that people share are they care about their children's future, they care about economic development, public health, farming, fishing, recreation, wildlife, and property values. And all of the municipal officials have different jobs where part of their job is to protect water. And they're looking through that lens of an engineer, through the lens of an educator, but they're related to water. And then I found that not only do people do their jobs, but there's 7 different types of knowledge that people were bringing to their jobs. And this might be familiar to you, like you think of your own expertise. I know that I'm trained as an ecologist, but I'm also an educator. And when I face a problem, I think ecologically, but I also think in terms of communication. So all the water managers in southern Maine draw from 7 types of knowledge. So if you're getting people in a room to solve problems, which is what I do in my work, you might have a town planner, public works, and a scientist, and getting them together in active dialogue is what builds shared meaning about a situation. So, and it's that dialogue. This is a dialogue-based approach. It doesn't really happen any other way than getting people in a room face-to-face, talking in dialogue. So let's go back to this mental model, this delivery that the Coastal Training Program is going to give those guys science. We're going to transform it, because after talking to them, I said, oh my gosh, who am I kidding? They know just as much as me. I just need to get them in a room to solve the problems together. So the new mental model for solving water problems is this picture. All these people know that water is threatened. They share common values that relate to protecting water, just like you folks. And they want their actions to have meaning as far as protecting water. So the goal is, how do you create a situation where the motivation and the care and the knowledge is activated to reach solutions? It's just like you guys being in the room here, although I would say so far, there's not that much dialogue going on as far as, you know, us talking together. So as a collaborative learning specialist, I would have put more of that in here. And I'm sorry, I'm violating the rule right now. The rule is, if you have an agenda and you're working to solve a problem, it's only 50% talking heads, and the other 50% is working together to come up with strategies for ways to take what you've learned, make meaning of it, and take it back to the job. You and me, Maine, when we go back. Yep. I'm a main friend here. So collaborative learning is the bridge. It's the bridge between generating products of science. We might have data, models, ecosystem assessment, GIS databases, and we know that that's valuable information or knowledge, but we want to get it over here. How do we make best management practices that incorporate the science, adaptation plans? And the collaborative learning process takes advantage of social science so that you understand what people already know, and then you design a series of processes to move that knowledge through the group, modify it, and get it applied to management and policy. The other metaphor I started with was the watershed metaphor, and similar to a couple of the other speakers, the National Estuarine Research Reserve System is super biophysical. There is part of NOAA, they just want to collect data. They need lots of data, they measure water quality, they know what the water quality is, they have a huge database of water quality in all the estuaries, but not that many people use it. Because that's based on a model that if people have data, they will act in ways to preserve water quality. Well, this is the social landscape. This is the social watershed that is maybe more important than the biophysical watershed, because it's all the different functions and jobs that affect those values that people care about. And if you look around that, you'll say, well, where's the science? And the science infuses into the best practices. And the goal of the coastal training program is how can we understand people's jobs in ways that we could say, hey, I understand in your job you're trying to keep stormwater out of the river. Well, here's something we know about the value of vegetated buffers. So with collaborative learning activities, it's everything from something that looks like this to something that looks like this. I actually had a collaborative learning activity. It was called We're All in the Same Boat, Shoreland Zoning Boat Trips. And we would get the scientists, the regulators, the property owners, and the businesses in a boat on the Saco River with no laptops, no phones, and we'd cruise up and down the river and talk about the meaning of shoreland zoning, was it working, what were the problems. And this is a way to get people thinking in new ways. So what I ended up doing, kind of changing my approach, instead of dealing with municipal officials, I thought, I'm going to work with my colleagues. I want to work with all the other practitioners so that we can do a better job of designing and offering collaborative learning situations that would help scientists, managers, and the public use these new techniques. So the things that I've done around the country, I do a two-day training in collaborative learning. Mostly it's been to help the National Estuarine Research Reserve System, which has kind of changed and now takes a collaborative approach even to research. We've also done graduate seminars, undergraduate courses. So I start training my undergraduates who are marine biology majors that here's this other skill that you can use along with your science to help you interact with society. And what I hope, are the presentations going to be made available to folks? Okay, because everything you need to know is in the presentation. And all the different projects we've worked on in how to do collaborative learning, again, very practitioner focused. These are the websites that the materials are on. And I will be here tonight at that social time. So if there's maybe one person in the room who this kind of, you think you want to learn more about that, please ask me. All right?